Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Welcome to Human Hope, episode number 67, with your host, Carlos Enrique with Gil Guzman. I'm so excited you guys are hanging out on another Thursday, or whenever it is that you're listening to the podcast. Hey, listen, I am completely overwhelmed at the response that you guys gave to last week's episode with John Eldridge. It was therapy. I told you it was balm for the soul. And I'm coming at you guys this week with three co-hosts. That's right. We've got more people on the podcast this week. And honestly, this one is really special. A long time coming. Two of the wisest people that I know, really three of the wisest people I know. One of them, though, you hear on the podcast a lot. Heather is on the podcast co-hosting with me. But we're also having our best friends on planet Earth, Brian and Jacinda Hale. They're two of the wisest human beings we know. We have been friends with them for, 20, at least 25 years. And oh my gosh, does this mean that I'm getting close to retirement age? I don't know. Like, when your friendships last 25 years, you're getting old. And we're all getting a little wrinklier and a little grayer. But we are going to be talking today on the podcast just about some real heart things, right? As we have traveled through these same seasons of life, some of the things we talk about today are like relationships, like how do you find your people, right? These are our people, our best friends on planet Earth. If you're somebody that's looking to find a best friend, looking to find that relationship with somebody that you can actually, these are the people that you know, you will call, they will show up at the hospital. They will move across the country to be with you when something horrible has happened, or you will experience the highest of highs with. If you're looking for those people, we lean into what it takes to find those relationships. We look into parenting. Our kids are the same age, and we're kind of transitioning into this new season of parenting young adults. Now, if you're parenting preschoolers or babies, you've heard it 1,000 times. It's going to fly by. And so don't just skip that part of the podcast, okay? I believe that there's things that will benefit you as you parent your child, whatever season that you're in. But, you know, we all have kids at home. Actually, all of my kids still live at home. But they're transitioning into young adulthood. And what does that look like, you know, to lean into that? I have them share their story of, in their 40s, how they made a huge, massive life change and changed complete trajectory and direction of their family's life. What it looked like to take that risk, how they did it, especially when they aren't necessarily big risk takers, what it took for them to do that. And they live now in Laguna, Southern California. And they're from Fresno, and they never in 1,000 years would have thought they would have left Fresno, but they did it. And they chased their dreams, and here they are. So if you guys are looking for ways to chase your dreams, ways to hear the voice of God, this is going to be a great episode. We talk about a whole lot more as well, but I just want to let you guys know that it is so special that our best friends, Brian and Jacinda Hale, are on the podcast today. I think you guys are going to really enjoy it. So let's just hop straight into the conversation. Listen, this is one of those conversations that I recorded on my iPhone sitting in the middle of a table on their balcony of their timeshare looking over the ocean. Okay, so it's like, I don't know it's exactly what it sounds like. I think it's going to sound good because the iPhone microphone normally sounds good when I do this, but just know we don't all have our individual mics, and it's just one microphone on the table. And I think you guys, I think you're really going to enjoy it. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this incredible conversation with myself, Heather Whitaker, Brian, and Jacinda Hale.
Here we are sitting in, where are we? Costa Mesa?
Newport.
Oh, wow.
Newport Coast.
Newport Coast. Yeah.
Is that what it's considered?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
It is Newport Coast.
Welcome Human Hope. Actually, not Human Hope. Welcome, Brian and Jacinda, to the Human Hope podcast.
Thank you.
You're on it right now.
I am.
What do you think? Wow.
I don't know. Hey, guys.
Yeah. We're, you guys need to introduce yourselves. Or should we introduce them?
And then yeah.
Okay. Heather, introduce who we're sitting with.
Hi. I'm Heather. And I am sitting with my best friend since I was 18. Were you 18 or 17 yet?
I was 17.
You were 17?
You were 18. How old are you now?
I am 43.
So these people have known you a long time.
A long time. We have taken pregnancy tests together. I've called her when you've been arrested.
Brian went to the jail with me. To pay off my bail?
I didn't know if I could tell that story.
Yeah. Okay, well, wow, no, that baby's going to be loud. Can you, like, not laugh as loud, babe? Tell that story. I don't think I've actually ever told that story anywhere.
Where was it?
No, but tell your part of the story. I'll share my, like, what happened, but, like...
Oh, we're just jumping in. I just thought that was a funny tease.
No. Why were you there, and why did you go down with me to... Was it to pay my bail? It wasn't to bail me out.
No, it was to pay your bail. We went to, like, the bail bondsman. We got stuff to, like, get you released from the bail.
Yes.
Because your mom had paid the bail.
Yes.
And we had to get her money back.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Wow. So, needless to say, these people...
Wait, so, just FYI. I'll tell you that story later.
They've been around the block with us. Brian and I actually went to elementary school together. So, these people have known all...
Gettysburg Generals.
Yeah. All of our ups and downs our years.
Yeah, literally our best friends on the planet. And listen, if you're another one of my best friends on the planet, listen to this.
We have a lot of best friends. It's kind of annoying.
I have a lot of best friends, but I'll be honest. I'm confident in
you guys
in,
like, are the longest.
Yes.
Like
you're
couple in. Best friends that we've had.
And I just thought, you know what? We're in California. This could be a kind of A, get to know you better podcast. Yeah. B, get to know somebody else in our lives podcast. And C, you guys just have a lot of wisdom that I'd like to ask them some questions.
Ooh.
You know, like I'd like to ask you guys some questions.
Pressure. That,
no pressure, you know, but you guys have helped us in a lot of areas and we're kind of walking. We've walked in similar seasons with our kids and struggles and triumphs and all the things. And now we have emerging adults as kids.
So crazy.
You know?
It really is.
And so,
it's so bizarre.
Let's just start there. Let's talk about this season of,
let them tell their kids situation.
Yeah. So teach us about your kids. Tell us about your kids.
We have three girls, and they're all teenagers. So our oldest is 18, just graduated high school, and we have a 15 and a half year old, and I say that because she just got her permit and soon to get, you know, license this year when she turned 16, and then a 13 year old.
Right. And you guys always would say that Sohaila was your first baby.
Yeah.
Oh, we've always said Sohaila's our first baby.
It's literally like the first picture in my Apple photos is of Sohaila. Like that's my first digital photo, I think.
In our
Sohaila sitting in our
bathroom
sink.
That pink and burgundy tile.
Uh-huh. Which is so fun. And then you and I got pregnant literally at the same time. And so we had our girls.
It was a crazy night, yeah.
That's gross. No, we had our girls a day and a month apart.
Oh, yeah.
The boys think they're so funny.
Hilarious. Go south real quick.
A day and a month apart, Kiara and Sayana. And so, our kids have just grown up together, literally, from day one.
And so here we are. We've got, again... 18-year-olds through 20-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this season.
So what would you, we'll just, I'll start with you, Heather. What would you say has been one thing that you've really had to transition in your parenting?
That's a hard question.
Okay. I can answer it.
Okay.
I mean, you guys,
you asked it. You should
know. I mean, you guys think about it. You know, I think that with Sohaila, who's 20 now, like I have to remember that although I am still her dad, although she still comes to me for a lot of advice, although all those things, like I have to continue to move her towards independence. I have to, in my parenting, my parenting has shifted from protection to like launching, right? And so like forever it was like, let me just protect.
And provide. All the things.
Now it really is. It's like, okay.
It takes a conscious
effort. Every bit of advice I give, every conversation we have, I'm constantly having to remind myself, okay, how can she learn from this so that in a year when she's not with me, she can, pull this. There, it's just, I'm a lot more cognitive of that in this season.
I wish I was smart like that. I would process that way. I'm more in the season of, oh my gosh, I only have months maybe left of my family five under my roof, so I'm just gonna soak it up. So I'm not necessarily like,
so you're more thinking about,
I'm like, in the here and now. I'm not like really thinking of anything else.
What about you guys, JB?
Oh, yeah, we're definitely thinking about that. It's like, this is, is this the last spring break we're going to have them all? Yeah. So it's like, hey, forget the water polo coach who wants to have spring break practice. Sorry, bud, but we're taking our kids and going somewhere.
Mandatory
practice.
During spring break. And it was funny because I'm not really the rule follower in this relationship, but I came home and told Brian, like, oh, like, just so you know, like, we can't do a trip for spring break. And he's like, screw that. Like, there's no way. Like,
but you know what? I love that you guys did that. One, because it teaches your kids that, like, yes, rules are great, but some things do trump the normal expectations of life. And that is
really
family.
Always has it for lots of things. We'll say no to other things because it just, you really do only have this certain slice of time, and it'll be sweet in the future too, but it is different with all of them.
I feel that transition coming.
And even as we're adding other people, in the mix, like boyfriends and things like that, it just changes a little bit of the dynamic.
Sure.
It's special when it's just your core original, you know?
Brian, how's it? Kiara's got a boyfriend. We've obviously talked at length about it. Both my daughters have boyfriends now. Kiara's got a boyfriend now. How's that been for you? You've got three daughters.
I know.
Well, you don't have any sons.
I know.
So
I'm the only man.
You're the only man in the house.
Even the dog.
Even your dog.
And I'm sure all the fish are too. It is a, I like the scene in Den of Thieves, the movie where
you made 50 me watch Cent, that.
Welcomes the prom date and, let me holler at him for a second, brings him out to the garage, and there's, 10 dudes who are just mean looking. And just like, hey, I've worked on this speech, So you have this whole thing where you're like, I want to put the fear of God in the kid.
Right.
But then you also want to be a friend.
Right.
And then we have a heart for young kids.
We do.
Right. So especially college age kids, we just love them. And so it's like an internal conflict all the time. But then I feel bad when she's like, Dad, I don't know if he likes you. I mean, he doesn't know if you like him or not, kind of thing. I'm like, oh, I like him. That is hard. I was wondering too, kind of like when you were saying like that pushing our kids towards independence, that's a huge thing. And I think of the girls and I'm wondering if, my mind was wondering if I always kind of like thought I was going to have boys. Mm-hmm. And right. And I think,
Cause you grew up with just a brother.
Yeah. Just a brother. So I was like, is it going to be different for Sohaila and Sayana than it is for Losiah?
Sure.
And I'm just kind of thinking about like just even the concept of, oh, my girls, I want to like protect them and love them. And I love having them. with me at our house on vacation. I'm so pumped to be with him. It's like, I wonder if that independence thing, I was thinking of, man, it's a hard job, like transitioning in my brain.
Because I think
I would have, if I had a son, I'd be like, dude, buck up, like, yeah. Do this, do that. I think I would have treated him different.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. But no, yeah, so that it comes to this point in their life now where I'm like, whoa.
And I feel like that part of protection for our daughters, yeah, is just going to remain. Like yeah. I think I'm going to be 60, 70, and still like, no, I don't care who messes with my daughter. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's just sure. something. There's just something.
And it's just, yeah.
But I don't want to be a worrier either. Sure. I want to be able to go, yeah, like, be okay with them when they want to travel by themselves or something.
Okay, I have a question. We all knew each other. We actually, Jacinda, you told me this years ago, but like, we all went on our first date on the same day.
Yeah.
Right?
We did.
Which is funny. Like, Carlos and I went on a date, and you guys went on a date the same day. So we literally have been
together. To a day.
But since we started, we were friends when we were dating each other. What, reflecting still on this topic of parents, like, what is something that Jacinda's dad or my dad, like, in that aspect, versus you guys?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, well, so the famous saying at my house, well, by my dad, I should say my parents are divorced.
Okay.
Not my current house, my dad.
I mean, he was kind of like TV dad, right? He said the things that TV dad said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. His advice constantly was no glove, no love.
That was
the one he wanted me to take home and remember wherever I found myself.
Okay.
So,
Well, there you go.
So Human Hope listeners, this is just a great saying. Just go ahead and write that down. If you're taking notes in your moleskin, no glove, no love. Okay. Ryan, what about you? What are things you remember?
Of her dad saying,
yeah.
Oh, I remember that one.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. but yeah, it was kind of like that, you know, that, hey, you know, what are your plans
reflecting who you are and having girls compared to like how he, you know, do you feel
similar? I mean, we are so much more there's so much more relationship, I feel like in our home, because there was times where
I think we're playful, right? So like, even if we have like Kiara's boyfriend, we invite him into what we're doing, which I know you guys are the same way as that, right? Like, whether it's meals or going to the beach and surfing together. Well, it's just
the generations are different, right? Like, generation
is in the dinner table. Boomers
were different. It's just a totally different type of, exactly.
Yeah. What about you, babe?
What about me?
My family.
I mean, your dad, Danny, was there. There was never a conversation with me about any rules. Like, I mean,
I didn't really have any rules.
No, like he, at one point he caught me. Is it your mom or your dad at 4 a.m. sneaking out of your room? I'd fallen asleep. In the
just like
in the
Rory garage. And Dean.
Yes, just like Rory and Dean on Gilmore. I'd fallen asleep. After we made out.
What's Gilmore?
And it was like 4 in the morning and I was walking. No, it was your mom. And I like opened the door and your mom was standing there. And
oh my gosh.
And she said, you better leave before
Danny sees you. You better leave before Danny sees you.
I remember that. Said.
Oh.
And I just went straight up to my car and I left before Danny saw me. Oh yeah.
Oh my dad. Really, my dad would not care. I think
that would be really similar in Jacinda's house.
Yeah.
In her dad's side. I think that would have been a very similar, the leniency, the rules. There weren't a lot of rules. And I actually think Danny and Ed are kind of similar.
Yeah,
there's some
similarities.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, babe? I think when I look at your parents and the way they raised you, Jesse and Teresa, I definitely see similarities.
You do?
Yes.
Tell me.
You're just so free with them. Like all the, our kids don't have a lot of rules.
No.
Like there's just not a lot of rules.
For them. Although if you ask them, it's so funny.
Yeah.
Was I telling you the other day? I'm like, they're like, oh no, you made a rule. We can't date until we're 16. Yes. I'm like, I never said that. Never. And they were like adamant to where like Sayana was about to like throw punches.
Yeah.
And I was like, never said that. And she was like, it was like fight or not. And so I finally gave in. I was like, I
feel like our kids are making up rules because they wish they had them. Like there's like very few things that were like hard and fast on.
Yeah.
That wasn't,
we had standards and stuff that we, you know, but like we didn't have any.
Definitely my kids have way less rules than I had. Like I have rules. Like straight up dude, Southern Baptist rules.
For sure. Me too.
Like, like they were rules.
Like I couldn't watch Smurfs.
Yes. my dad took my George Michael Faith cassette tape and pulled it off because he saw I Want Your Sex.
Oh, man.
Oh, yours was MC Hammer.
My parents gave me MC Hammer. Hammer, please don't hurt him. The cassette tape for Christmas.
Yeah.
And then on the way to my aunt and uncle's house in Madeira, we listened to it and it was all good. You got to pray.
You got to pray it just to make it today.
Can't touch this, all that stuff. But then, you know, Soft and Wet came.
Oh, wow.
Eject. I've got my Christmas present taken away.
I never heard that story. That's the best.
That is amazing.
That's really funny.
Y'all know I love me some BetterHelp. And again, in this season, it is so important that every single one of us find somebody else to listen to us. When I say somebody else to listen to us, listen to not only our concerns, but our joys. I love that BetterHelp offers me a therapist that I can talk to on my phone. And you know what? I would say every other time I do it on video. And then the next time I just do a phone call. You don't even have to see them if you don't want to see them. You don't have to worry about waiting in an office somewhere and somebody you know walking in to see that you're there to talk to somebody. First and foremost, therapy is not embarrassing. You need to be proud of going to therapy. More people need to be proud of going to therapy. But I know that some people have a reservation of people knowing it in this season that you're in. So BetterHelp can help you with that. Listen, I'm telling you, we take care of our cars, we take care of our bodies when we work out. Why not take care of our minds the exact same way? I love my BetterHelp therapist. It is online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat, right? Like you can text your therapist. So that's unbelievable. And it's so much more affordable than in-person therapy. You can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. So this is what I have done for you. Listeners of Human Hope get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/human hope. That is BETTERHELP.com/human hope. See you guys there. Okay. As I am sitting here in Newport Beach, California, I am using on my phone and my laptop ExpressVPN. Y'all know that I love me some ExpressVPN. Why? Because they keep my browsing to myself, right? None of these hotels that I'm logging on with ExpressVPN, they don't know that I'm here, right? Nobody can track me. I'm not leaving any data as I go around. And listen, even if you browse in private mode so that, you know, the hotels can't capture what you're browsing for, your online activity, it still gets tracked. And data brokers, honestly, they still will buy and sell your data, okay? Is it data? Is it data? I don't know, but ExpressVPN can make sure that it remains private. Listen, your IP address, data harvesters use your IP address to uniquely identify you and your location. But with ExpressVPN, your connection gets rerouted through an encrypted server and your IP address is masked. This is why I use ExpressVPN. And best of all, ExpressVPN is super easy to use. No matter what device you use, it's so simple to install. Your phone, your laptop, your smart TV, whatever it is, all you have to do is tap one button and you are protected. So if you really want to go incognito to where nobody can track you and protect your privacy, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN. Visit expressvpn.com/humanhope and get 3 months for free. Who's your daddy? Who loves you? That's me. That's right. expressvpn.com/humanhope. Go to expressvpn.com/humanhope to learn more.
What, this would, I think this would be interesting, especially a lot of people listening to podcasts. I get a lot of questions about friendships and a lot of questions about a lot of people are lonely. A lot of people don't have friends. A lot of people live in cities away from their friends. A lot of people move, and how do I make friends? And, you know, I think that's something that the four of us have done better than most people in maintaining relationship across the country. And so maybe let's lean into that for some people that are like, you know, like, how do I maintain my relationships with people that I no longer live near? Is it hard? You know, and I mean, I just think you have to put effort into it. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, I think you definitely have to put effort. I think it also like helps to have personalities that kind of have good chemistry, right? Like, Justin and I are a lot alike. Like, we grew up very similar. We have a lot of similar things that we like, and yet we are totally different. She is so kind and friendly to people, and like just your best friend, and I'm not. It really does help that part.
Well, because there's relationship. I mean, we spent a long time in California, and
but have we ever lived in the same city?
For the when not we were when we've teenagers. Been
major. I mean, just when we were growing up.
Yeah, months.
Yeah.
No, but there's. Is there any relationship we have left that we're like, oh yeah, they're our friends?
What do you mean?
No.
It's just
we
that.
Have people that like we can call up and go to dinner and catch up.
Yeah, we have like friends, but like a relationship
that we're still ongoing.
That is still like ongoing. You guys are it.
And
like,
I think that okay, it does have to do with chemistry. It does have to do with just there's just something special about like raising your babies with people, and there's something in that season that you kind of bond with people. So we have that going for us. For whatever reason, Justin and I are great. I hate talking on the phone. Like, if you try to call me, I'm not going to answer, but for Justin, I will. And we just have this dance on the phone that literally it was like, oh, I have 2 minutes. Okay, so yeah. So anyways, and we just jump back into our conversation, and then like the baby is screaming in the back, it was like, it literally was just we might have called each other 5 times a day when the babies were young because it was
got
like
one conversation.
Yeah, and got finished, one story finished. Yeah.
Oh, let me finish. Hold on, I got to go feed the baby.
Yeah, you know, and it's looked different throughout the years and stuff, but it's been fun, and it's even more fun that you guys like each other.
Yeah.
Because that's very rare.
Well,
you know?
Really, like, enhanced the friendship for sure.
I agree.
Uh-huh. Plus, our kids like each other.
Yeah, our kids are
so it's like our kids are into each other. Our husbands became best friends.
Our husbands are into each other.
Yeah. 100. But I think there's something to be said too for like expectations on it, because if you guys were always like, oh my gosh, does Heather still like me? Oh my gosh. It's like you guys are secure in your friendship to 100%. Know that a 2 minute phone call is all you need to like stay connected.
Yeah.
And we were talking earlier, but like Carlos doesn't reach out all the time.
Right.
So if I was
you're the carrier of the friendship.
So if I was like
you're the one that reaches out to him.
So if I was like insecure, then I see a lot of other people. That's where a lot of friendships go wrong, because they're over, like almost overthinking it. They're not confident in the.
One thing that Heather and I've always shared too is like, when we do get together, depending on whatever town we're living, or mainly you guys living in, we've only moved once, so whatever town you're living in, when we would get together and we'd get friends to come over too, we'd always be so excited for like the worlds to collaborate,
for our friends to become
friends. And I remember even, it was just like last year, maybe Heather, we hung out with somebody and you were introducing us, and we were so excited, and she was really taken aback because she was like, wait, she kept saying some things like, oh, well, I don't want to take away from your friendship, or I don't want to take away. We're like, what are you talking about? Like, oh no, we're secure. Like, we're so excited to be friends with you, and I'm so excited to share my friend with you.
Well, and
we're not like jealous. We've never been that.
No. And I don't know why, like, because you have another best friend.
Yeah.
And I have no problem. Like, I've never not felt a best friend, you know, like I've never felt second. I've never felt.
Isn't that crazy how people, I don't know where it came from, but
where
like
you have to have one best friend,
you know, it starts in elementary school. Like, you know, it's just like, who's your best friend?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that.
But like, I love Mignon. Like I really
would be her friend.
Yeah.
But like,
that's my other best friend.
Yes, that is your other best friend. And like,
it's not a fillet. We're not talking about steak.
But I just never, I've never felt intimidated or threatened or, because it's like having a kid, right? Like when you have one kid, it doesn't mean that you neglect love if you have another kid. So maybe that's part of my upbringing of having a stepdad that has loved me as the same as his kids. And so I don't have that baggage, but
I love the point of just being secure in your friendship.
Like, I think being secure in your friendship, and you have to be secure yourself, in yourself.
Actually,
And how do we get there?
How do we get there? That's a good question.
I don't
know, Pastor.
Tell us. Pastor Carlos.
I think doing things that make you come alive, doing things that fill your soul, like not just existing, doing things that remind you of who you are and things that you love doing that bring you joy. Yeah. You know, I think those are like, that's a simple thing to be secure in who you are, to like do something that's enjoyable just for the sake of enjoying it, not because it's being productive, not because it's kind, not because it's a good, you know, deed, just like
desires,
riding a bike or whatever it is.
I think people trying to manufacture friendships too, like almost settling
the pressure.
So I think like a good thing for people who are looking for friends or lonely is like, hey, you know, don't, you know, if you're to a new city, a friend of ours moved to a new city, single gal, and it's like, I don't know where to meet people. It's like, join a softball league.
Do something you enjoy, because then you're going to meet somebody that's similar.
And then when you do meet them, it doesn't have to be your best friend right away.
And like, gosh, that's so important.
Yes.
And we try to tell our kids too, like, hey, like, I didn't meet Carlos until I was 20, I think. I don't even know how old. Like, we didn't become, like, I wasn't in your wedding.
Right.
You were in my wedding the next year. So it's like, we weren't like tight friends until I was 21.
Right.
So it's like, your kids are freaking out in junior high and high school about
trying to find their
best friend for the rest of my life. And I'm like, hey, I have those too. But, you know, and, you know, I have friends from kindergarten, but like, you know, Carlos, I didn't meet till I was 20 or become tight till so it's like, dude, just patience, chill.
And it's hard. And you enjoy the season.
It is hard.
You know, I mean, I remember when our kids were 14 and daughters were 14 and
brutal.
Just slayed because like the friendship, and it's hard at 14, you know, it is.
Yeah.
But man, like looking back now, and it's just like, all my close friends are.
I think it was John Acuff posted a thing once, and he's like, Mean Girls wasn't a like movie, it was a documentary. And that is, it is tough, man. Girls especially, I thought, in those years where it's really, really tough.
And I also think that, again, if you're moving to a new city, and if you're listening to this, and you're like, well, what do I do? You know, we mentioned, again,
join something.
Yeah. You know, there's clubs where people join, like, hiking clubs to make friends. Like, that's why they do that stuff. Yeah. Like, they don't do it just because they like to hike. They do it because they want to.
And I think take the initiative, too. Yeah. Like, if you see somebody, like, hey, you want to get coffee? Like, I feel like, you know, we had a, season. Yeah, but we had a season where, you know, we were getting judged because, well, Sohail was in the hospital. I'll just tell the story. Sohail was in the hospital for 3 weeks, and a lot of people were judging us online. Oh, it must be nice to have people bring you meals every night in the hospital. It must be nice to have people visit you in the hospital, which I understand is coming from hurt that probably they didn't get that if they had a season in the hospital. However, that was just a harvest of all the times that I have asked and stepped into and stepped up and cooked a meal. And like, that was just us receiving what we've already sowed. And so, like, be the friend that you want.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what we're
telling. Be the friend you want to be.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I know how desperate people do want to not be lonely and find friends. But again, don't, you know, if you can, don't put so much expectation on every new friendship.
Yeah.
On every new relationship. You know, like I think you said, Brian, like, don't be like, oh my gosh, okay, this is going to be my new best friend. And then, you know, a couple months later, they're hanging out with somebody else and they don't really want to hang out with you as much. And it's like, oh, just crushed over and over.
Just think about all the friends that we have had in the last 25 years that we've known you all. Like, we've had lots of best friends for like a decade. We would have a set of friends, but then life changed and then, you know, we either move or situations happen. And so those friends moved on for whatever reason. I don't know, like God has gifted us with you for life, you know? And so, but don't be afraid if you don't have lifers like us, that we have, you know, if a season where your friends are all gone, you're going to have another season where there's friends. Like, and just remind yourself, like, seasons, like, friendships come in seasons. It's very, 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 very rare to have somebody that's your whole life.
Seasons are great.
Yeah.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Every single spring, that first day that I walk outside and I see that yellow dust all over my truck, I'm like, that is Satan's dandruff. It destroys me. I legitimately can't go outside for longer than 3 minutes because my eyes get swollen, my eyes get puffy, my nose gets congested, and I just simply can't breathe. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. When I started taking Claritin D about 2 months ago, I can finally get back outside and play pickleball again, which is what I love to do, but I couldn't do it because my allergies were so bad. Claritin D has legitimately allowed me to go outside again. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's something that I think I want to ask both of you that I think is going to be very, very, very beneficial for people that are listening. You guys, what's so inspiring, I think can inspire a bunch of people is here we are in, you know, Newport something, looking at the ocean, and you guys live like 15 minutes from here, 10 minutes from here. And you've lived, you were life for Fresno's, like you lived in Fresno. Okay. Listen, Fresno, California is not Orange County, California. And it's kind of a place that people end up staying forever, which is fine. I mean, it's those are desires of people. Some people desire just to be around. But you guys, like, not in your 20s, not in your 30s, but in your 40s, have moved. You left things that you loved. You left things that you still love. You left family that you still love. It's painful, but at the same time, you've come alive in ways that you never would have had you not taken a risk with a 16-year-old daughter, a 14-year-old, you know, and like in the prime of everything, you guys said, you know what? We have a desire to live at the beach. We're going to figure out a freaking way to do it, and we're going to go. And you did it. And I just remember Heather and I were like, they're really doing it. So talk to us, talk to the person that's listening right now that feels stuck. Mm-hmm. They're like, I'm never going to get out of this town in North Dakota. I just don't know if it's good. I really would love to, not, I mean, I'm sure people love North Dakota, nothing against North Dakota, but I'm sure people have desires to go, but they feel like their life situation and family structure and everything is against that and opposing that. Help them be like, you know what? We're going to give it a shot.
Well, the first thing I'd say is have patience, actually, which is probably not what you expected my answer to be, because I think there were years that there were a really, really deep longing for change.
Yeah.
And I definitely remember exactly
that feeling of feeling stuck, like there were no other options.
You did. You felt that.
There for me longer than for Brian. I had been, there had been some things stewing in me for a while. We always had a heart for the beach. We've been coming down here for 13 years, and it's always been like this oasis, this sanctuary, this place where we met with God and came alive. Like I was saying earlier, like we would just come alive. And I remember walking on the beach, and I remember now, it's funny, walking on the same beach, I'm reminded of the prayers that I prayed of, how can I be here more? How can I make this part of my like everyday life and not just a once a year getaway?
Yeah.
But patience, because
that's good.
Because you might be stuck now, but stuck isn't forever. And ask God, what do you, like, start dreaming. Don't be afraid to dream of something that's different or bigger than what you're in
outside your box
currently, and what everyone else is saying and doing, and maybe even expecting of you. Because I think that was probably part of the biggest challenge of making that move, was letting other people down.
Yeah.
Because essentially we were letting their dreams down, because they assumed we would always be there and grow old with them in their town. Like we left our, both of all three sets, my parents are divorced. We have three sets of grandparents, which are, you know, our kids' grandparents, and they came to every game and were in the cheering zone. I mean, we had the whole package as far as like family and friends and community, and it was disruptive for us, and it was disruptive for all the people we loved to get up and move. However, it was so deep inside us.
Yeah.
Like it was just this deep longing and this deep desire. And God heard those prayers like all along. And there came a time where we just heard like it's now.
Yeah.
And it was shocking and exciting to all of us. And we
That's
did it.
Awesome.
And
but it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy.
It was not.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't easy. I mean, we told our family, took it pretty well. They actually assumed we would be moving. They kind of had a feeling we were moving. And they immediately expected us to move to Nashville because, you know, our church is the Belonging Co. in Nashville. Our best friends are in Nashville. It just like totally made sense. We kind of thought for a hot minute that maybe that's what God was doing.
I thought for 3 days. Yeah.
Yeah. We were dreaming. We were looking at real estate that was way more affordable at the time. Not now, because all the Californians moved there. But really, like, yeah, we just kept pressing in and asking God, and it was south. We're moving south, and
here you are.
Here we are. And now we surf and play and walk on the beach. I don't know. What else do you want to say, babe? Anything?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, it's just the kindness of God.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know what the audience is on that mix of there, but yeah, it's, we wouldn't have made this move if we didn't hear the voice of God moving us here. And we even had plans of, you know, manufacturing ideas of where we could go. Oh, let's go. We could go to this area on the coast because it's, you know, it's not really where we vacation or where we even go that often. But hey, it's maybe a little bit more affordable kind of thing or something. And then it was just, you know, through, I mean, it was like a daily revelation.
Asking God and
we were just it was just a really sweet time in our life. But yeah, just the kindness of God to go, no, that's where I want you to go, where you love.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I can remember like tearing up, like,
yeah,
what, no, really, like we're gonna go there?
Right.
Well, it was really sweet. I'm gonna interject and you can add, but we, because when we heard the basically the call or the invitation to come and to move, all of our family was on board, and we were super excited, didn't know what that meant, didn't know where that was going to be. So Brian and I really started pressing in and praying and thinking and asking God what that looked like. Well, we still have, you know, even when you're dreaming, you still have everyday life. You still have a job. You still have your chores. You still have all your daily things that you have to take care of. So
Plus it was COVID.
Sure. But we had a lot of things going on. We were very like busy, I guess, with your normal stuff. But then we were also asking God. So we'd kind of go our separate ways. And at the end of the day, we'd be like, it would be like, well, what did God say? Or what did you hear? What did you? So he'd come home telling me something. And, well, actually, I think like, I know we were talking about moving in the fall, but I keep sensing we need to move in the summer. And then I literally pick up my journal and turn it around, and in block letters from the same morning, it says summer in all caps.
Oh my gosh.
Locked in. And he's just like, what? And it happened every day. It was so fun. It was such a fun, like, season because the girls were involved too. And so every day I'd be like, okay, what happened? And we'd share stories and we would just be in sync and on the same page. But again, it was just tuning our ear. So I say the patience component, because we had been tuning our ear to hear the voice of God for a decade, you know, where we really were learning his voice so that when there was an invitation and a time that something like this would come up, we would hear him and we would know it was him. So yeah. I think that's...
And I think once you hear that, there might be patience involved too, but, but once you hear that promise and you hear like the direction, then it's like, I can't not do it.
Yeah.
I can't stay the same. Like there's a different calling coming or whatever it is. And like, I can't disobey that now and stay. Or like, you could feel that my life
wasn't going to be. Urgent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, everyone else is leaving Southern California and you guys came.
Yeah, buddy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So where do you see yourselves, or where do you see us 10 years from now?
All four of us?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, we're going to be grandparents.
We are going to be grandparents in 10 years.
Are we really?
In 10 years?
10 years? Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Oh my gosh, that's be so exciting.
Wow.
I'll be like a Craig Rochelle grandpa, just like ripped.
We're going to be such young grandparents.
Amazing.
It is going to be great.
Yeah, I think the next 10 years is going to be a great season, even just in our personal lives. So I feel like, man, our kids are going to be out and we're just going to be hanging. We're going to be partying.
Vacationing.
Yeah. Let's go, man. Lots of fly fishing. Let's do that.
That's fun.
Yeah. Here's something that I want to, we'll kind of start wrapping up with this. People listen to Heather and I all the time on this podcast. But you guys know things about us that nobody else knows. It doesn't have to be like
jail.
Doesn't have to be like deep dark secrets. Sure. Okay. So Brian bailed me out of jail. Okay. So that's why. what are things that maybe you know about us that the normal Human Hope listener wouldn't even know? You know,
I mean,
it could be 100 things.
Oh my gosh! You know, it is 100 things. I'll say, if you don't know Heather, I've known Heather since fifth grade?
Yeah, elementary school.
Yeah, but I will say that Heather can take whatever is in your kitchen refrigerator.
Yes,
it could be three items. It could be like mayonnaise, pickles, and a 3-day old chicken, and somehow something comes out that's like absolutely delicious. So if you don't know,
that is very true.
That is true.
I don't know if people know that.
And it's almost like it's so great because she'll be like, "Oh, do you have do you have mayo?" I'm like, "Oh, I don't," because we packed it. I normally have mayo in my fridge. Okay, but it's like challenge. I see her wheels spinning, and it's like challenge accepted. And so she'll just whip something up that you're like, oh. And then I always say, oh, do you have a recipe? Or okay, yeah, sorry. No. Actually, I'll be at her house, like, oh, remember what you made 2 days ago? Nope. What? Like, remember? I'll even describe it and know some of the ingredients. Sorry, yeah, no, there's no recipe. I just make it. It's by feel. It's by like.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is good.
I will also say that they are. You see, I think you guys would see where Carlos is now and where Heather is now, kind of in their life. I think you wouldn't. There is no content calendar. there is no strategy to how to make this Instagram following bigger. There is no corporate board meeting for, you know, who is this brand called the Whitakers. They are just the sweetest, like, they're very genuine people who just love life, and and all this stuff has come because of what they've sown into life, I think.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, it is.
Thanks, Bri.
Maybe.
I was asking for compliments.
I know, but they are.
I mean, good, if you want to keep going.
I will. They are the people that you wish would be your friends. And so it's funny because I'm going to get like sappy, but when I think about what I would want in a friend, and I like can't believe I have it. Like, I can't believe I get
to have you guys as my friends. And because it's more, it is, it's just so much more. It's like, even when I look across the table, it's like, it's just, we're lifers. Mm-hmm. We're lifers. It's been, well, and I think it's always.
What has been a gift in that is knowing each other literally from.
Yeah.
Like, my first memory of you is you crying. We were at some youth group. You'd come in late, and you were crying to the leader about whatever you felt guilty because you were naughty, probably so doing. Naughty. And, like, that was my first impression of you. Like, we didn't, like, we weren't friends, and I just remember seeing you that night. And, so to think of who we were, I was so snotty and bratty and controlling because I had no idea how to not be that, you know, like from all those seasons, you know, like we've all, Brian's the only one who's been solid for all of us.
Brian's been our anchor. All three of us.
That is so true.
Man. I keep waiting for Brian to, for me to be able to help him with one thing.
You taught him to fly fish.
I did.
You taught him to play. You taught him to come back to play.
Play.
Oh, actually, you know what you taught him to do is rest.
Oh man!
Because you invited him in into that.
Yeah. And I'm just like type A, and I was way more high strung. I think like the ability for you guys to let things roll off your back, and like roll through life. That I've learned a lot from that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But also just spontaneity.
Yeah.
Leaning into that. Like, rest with whatever. But yeah, I just love it, man. It's an adventure.
We love you guys. And this was perfect.
I love you.
Thank you for
sharing. Welcome to our deeper side of.
Yeah. Welcome to the.
Lol.
To the OGs. You guys got the OGs.
The inside scoops.
I told y'all, they are some of the greatest humans on the planet. Unfortunately, Brian's barely on Instagram. Jacinda's barely on it. No, Jacinda Instagram is more than Brian did. You guys, I will leave their details in the show notes if you want to reach out to them, let them know how much you appreciate it. And yeah, you know, you guys get to know a little bit more about me and Heather as well through the eyes of some of our best friends. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Human Hope. And y'all ain't even ready what's coming for you the next few weeks. I will see you next week on another episode of Human Hope.